should be on the whole time. Be easier. Anyway, you're welcome. When I woke up this morning, the weather app on my computer said snow is coming. But an hour later, as I was sipping my coffee, it said mix is coming. I was excited for a bit of snow, but I'm not a fan of the wintry mix, as I don't think most of us probably are. I just like one good snow. And then when I plugged in here, I opened my computer and it said rain is coming. I thought, well, that's the end of that. But the bottom line is we're going to get wet. As you all know, it wasn't that long ago that I moved back to Richmond from West Point. Prior to beginning my time in West Point, I lived in a little 1,200-square-foot house. It was very cozy. It was a downsize from my give-or-take 2,200-square-foot house in Briarwood. This occurred as I prepared to go to Suwanee in Tennessee. I had received my Master's of Divinity from Virginia Union, but I needed a certificate in Anglican Studies in order to pursue ordination. So I had to leave for school before the house sold, and my daughter was saddled with the job, and she never lets me forget it, of going through everything and kind of being the homeowner. And she had three basic categories. One was things to keep, one were things to send to the Goodwill, and three things to throw away. And the second two far outnumbered the first. She didn't keep a lot, which was good. But truthfully, I've never missed anything that she got rid of. So as I anticipated leaving West Point, I started considering another downsize. I could move back into the house that I lived in, but it was further away from my daughter. So I began to search, and I found a 900-square-foot, very cozy house in Brandermill. barely 10 minutes away from my daughter, her family, and my grandchildren. So I was pretty happy, except the house in West Point, which was a rectory, I had easily filled all 2,200 square feet. So downsizing again. So the ups and downs, I'm saying this because sometimes the ups and downs of life are sort of like downsizing and you know, gaining more. But as I downsize this time, I have the same three categories. One is to keep, one is to send to Goodwill, and one is to throw away. But I have a fourth one. One is to put aside and reconsider. And there's one room that's full of all that stuff. You know, so, what can I say? And sometimes we do have to put things aside and reconsider them, even as we listen to and follow the call of the gospel. So as I read today's gospel, I had to wonder what I would do if I heard the door open back there and Jesus stood at the back of the room and said, come on, follow me. And I wonder if I would have the faith, if I would have the trust to just leave everything behind and go with him. I'd like to think so, but truly I really don't know. It has always fascinated me how quickly these men that Jesus called left. When they were just doing their everyday stuff, they just left. They left everything. They just followed him. So what would you all do if Jesus came into this sanctuary and said, come on, y'all, let's go. We have work to do in the world. Would we get up and follow him? Now, that's a tough question, you might be thinking. I mean, we've all got stuff to do at home. We have places to be, people to see. Maybe in a little while, Jesus. But see, actually, here's the truth of it. When we consider ourselves as a congregation and ourselves as disciples of Christ, we indeed do get up and leave and follow him. Every single Sunday. When we leave this place, we follow Jesus into the world and we do the work that God intends for us to do. Remember last week in John's account of calling the disciples, The men followed Jesus, but then they spent the day with him, listening to him. They acknowledged that he was the Lamb of God, but there wasn't this the same sort of instant leaving everything behind. There's more than one way to say yes to Jesus. That's what I kind of learned. Sometimes we compare the Gospels and we think, well, why is this one different and why is that one different? And I don't know, except the fact that if I wrote about something and you wrote about something that happened some time ago, they'd be a little bit different. I don't know about you, but when I get together with my brothers and we reminisce, each one of us has a slightly different reminder, memory of how things happened. And of course, each of us knows for sure that we are correct. Jesus declares that the kingdom of God has come near. It's time to repent. Time to make a new life in the context of God's real presence in the world. In the context that through Jesus, God is actively working in the world. The kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Rome. The kingdom of heaven is not a political kingdom. It is a kingdom of love. It is a kingdom of belonging. It's an alternative to all things political. And in the context of the kingdom of heaven, all things are possible. All things through Christ are possible. We are one church. Choosing to follow Jesus gives us the freedom to consider that there's something better than what the political structure of the world has to offer us. That power is not about who is in charge or who is doing what, but power is in believing in what Jesus did for us. In believing that we can say yes to God and that we each have a job to fulfill in the name of Jesus. In the Corinthians reading, we're reminded that we are one church and one people. The church of God, the people of God, one church. And when we talk about inviting people and welcoming people to our church, we talk about trying to attract more diverse people, younger people, all those things that we talk about growing our congregation. When we do that, we affirm that we are all members of God's creation. We extend that invitation to everyone. And as Paul tells us, our loyalty is not to, oh, well, so-and-so invited me, or I go there because he's a great preacher, or she's a great prophet, or whatever it is that makes us decide to go to a place. The bottom line is that we are all fishers of people, and our loyalty and spirit of faithfulness is an allegiance to God and no one else. And as fishers of people, we can't throw anyone back. People may not receive the message that we have to speak, but that is their choice. But either way, whether they receive it or not, it is our call to love and accept them. Paul tells the church in Corinth that for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom. So we don't have to be great scholars. We don't have to be able to quote the Bible. We don't have to be wise in any capacity in order to preach the gospel. The message is about the cross. And Paul says it's foolishness, speaking of the cross, to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, I'm sure that all of you have heard someone at some time tell you that the cross is balderdash. But it's not. And that's one of the things that we're called to take into the world, the testimony to that truth. Nancy Gross, who's a professor at Princeton Theological Seminary, says this: "The cross of Christ is emptied of its power when the gifts of a few are celebrated as most or singularly important. The cross of Christ is emptied of its power when our loyalty is to a preacher, to a teacher, or to a local congregation, a nationality, or a culture. Anything that we put first and not to the gospel message of the unearned, unmerited, undeserved love of God in Jesus Christ. That's where the power of the cross is. And no matter what Paul says, we know that we are saved through the power of that cross, through the power of God. Not anything that we do or anything we could do or might do, but that gift of grace. So Thursday, we had a gathering of women here, and we talked about some things from this book, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. And it's been on my mind ever since we used it on Thursday, especially the mole who thinks that cake is the solution to everything. They're just throwing everything around. The author says that it's a book about friendship, but knowingly or unknowingly, the book speaks to me as a metaphor for the love of God and the importance of relationships. Along the way, the boy meets the mole first, the fox, and then the horse. And the boy says, I realize why we are here. For cake? Asked the mole. To love, said the boy. And to be loved, said the horse. So go into the world in love, to serve and love the Lord, and to testify to the promise of the cross. Amen.